and welcome back to the Born and Bred podcast. This is episode 2. We are so happy you're here. My name is Maria Cusack.
And my name is Brennan Gallagher. We are your hosts for the program, and we are going to kind of set the tone. The last podcast was like an introduction to who Born and Bred is, what we do, and what we want to do and hope to accomplish for the West Virginia music scene. So this podcast is actually going to be what that looks like. And so we are actually going to be talking today about a topic we feel is very important for artists across the country, but definitely what we're seeing in the West Virginia music scene that we would like to see bands really hone their skills in this area. And so, Maria, I'm going to let you introduce what we're talking about.
Sure. So today we are going to be talking about marketing for WV artists, how you can best market yourselves, tools that you may need, strategies, and a couple of just tips and tricks that we have that may not be on your radar that we know should be.
And we know they work. That's the big thing. These things work. We know that from personal experience. We know that from watching bands who have been successful in what they're doing. So right out of the gate, we're going to talk about social media and your social media presence as a band. This is not going to be comprehensive by any stretch. If we were to go through every minute detail of what it takes to be successful in this area, that would be a probably 30-hour episode. So, but we're going to do a brief overview of different areas that we really see that bands need to address. So first and foremost, just social media in general. What are you doing there? How are you utilizing it? Maria, what are some things that you think bands should be doing in regards to, let's just start with Facebook. And what are some things that we're seeing there that we need to see bands kind of work to correct?
Well, first of all, I think it should be attractive. So you should have updated photos on there for your icon image and your cover photo. If you have a photo on there that's 10 years old or it's just kind of a just not quality picture, that's something that's worth it. If you need to get a photographer or somebody with a camera that, you know, can at least, even if they're not a professional photographer, maybe can take a quality picture for you, I would prioritize that.
Can I jump in there on pictures? Something I see a lot of times with pictures, when you go to do a picture, make sure everybody's in the frame for different sizing. So what do I mean there? There's a picture that might work on Facebook in a banner, but it's not going to, if you're trying to make that your icon, your, you know, the thing people actually see first when they come up there, that is not going to work. That photo that's your Facebook banner is not going to work, and it's not going to work on Instagram. And make sure that you're positioning people in ways that allow for photos to be used across multiple channels. And take pictures specifically with those different apps in mind.
Yeah, agreed for sure.
So that's one area, photos and making sure that those look good. I agree with that 100%. You got to have good updated photos. We try to do band pictures at least once a year in my band. Something else I'm going to suggest is take some pictures where there's space in between you guys in case somebody quits. And you don't have time to do another band shoot.
Honestly, we've had to utilize that a few times.
We've had to utilize that. And it's easy to go ahead and just grab the images of the people out and redo things like that. So individual shots are a good idea if you can make sure the sizing and everything's the same on each person. I highly recommend that. It's kind of like the old idea, the idea of making sure that the boyfriend and girlfriend that come to Christmas are on the outer edges of the Christmas pictures. So in case you got to crop them out, same idea here. Make sure you have enough space in between a couple of photos so that you can use them.
And actually, let's take a step back for a second, because whether you are a band or a solo artist, you should have a dedicated Facebook page as opposed to a personal Facebook profile. So I think most bands probably naturally know that. But if you are a solo artist, just having a personal Facebook profile is not enough. You need to have a music page, and that has to be your professional page. You can have more personal stuff on your personal, but all the music stuff on your professional. And that is also very important for tagging.
Yeah. So pet peeve, posting personal drama, personal issues on your Facebook page for your band. Don't do it. That meme that you think is hilarious, put it on your personal page. It's not for your band page. It's not professional. If people are looking for you to book you for a show and they see your music page, your band page, your artist page is full of memes and things like that, they're not going to keep searching your page, especially if they're trying to find pertinent information about your band. So don't clutter your page up with a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of stuff that just doesn't matter. Make sure you have a delineation between your personal info and your band info. That's very important. So, and along those lines, setting up that band page, you got to do that right out of the gate and make sure that you have good quality content on there. So what are we looking for when I am booking acts? So if I go to your Facebook page and your Instagram, I need to see links right out of the gate. I need to know. Now, you don't have to have a website. Okay. It's not necessarily the end all, the be all, but you need to have links in there that show me who you are, links to your music. I need to be able to find those quickly on your Facebook. I need to find out who you are, where you're from. I see so many bands that don't put where they're from on their Facebook. You only don't feel the need to like try to hide where you're from. If I'm looking for bands in the area, I need to know how much time it's going to take them from get from where they're located to where I'm at, so I can factor that into what they're going to cost me. So don't putting, you know, sometimes people think of, if we don't put our location on there, it makes us look bigger than we are. No, it just makes it harder for me to identify where you're from and whether or not I can work with you. So that's something to consider as well.
And people don't really fall for those kinds of tricks.
No, they don't. I'm looking at your social media. If I, you know, your follows, your likes, your interaction on your stuff, I'm wanting to see that. So hiding your location doesn't do you any good. Other things about, you know, your social media presence, it's got to be timely information. If you have a show next week, you should have posted about that at least 30 to 45 days ago, not the week before. I've already made plans for next week. So, you know, you got to make sure you're giving people enough lead time to really work in there, and then you keep promoting that show. How many times are you promoting shows on your Facebook page? I should see at least 5 to 6 shares of a show between all your different social media.
Also be sure to tag the venue. Yeah. We've run into this a couple of times where maybe the venue isn't sharing it as much as they should, and that can feel frustrating. And one of the ways of kind of helping nudge them is by tagging them to make it easy for them to share your posts as well.
They're going
to
get a notification that such and such band tagged you in a post. They're going to go see that. And all they got to do there is hit share. They just got to hit share to their page. That makes it easier for them to market you. Now, they should be doing it on their end too. We all know that. But a lot of times you got to do the legwork here. And as frustrating as that can be, you have to compensate for it. So this is one easy way. And also, when I'm running events, I need to be able to tag your page. I need to be able to find you. So going back to what Maria said earlier about, you know, personal page, most event pages, such as a festival page, cannot tag a personal page. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have their settings that are set up so that you can't tag them personally. Well, if I can't tag you and I can't promote you properly for my event, I'm not booking you. So that is a big thing to consider, is how accessible is your social media to the people that you're trying to work with.
And on that note too, when you're setting up your page, think about what your handle is and try to make it as obvious as possible in terms of what people would be searching to find you. So I think if you say something like, let's say your name is Josh Singer, and we want to set up Josh Singer as your page, but maybe that's not available, so you say Josh Singer Music. That's fine, because I think most people, if they search your name, their natural next thing is to think, oh, let me try adding music on there. But kind of anything that deviates from that just makes it really hard to search you, because people won't think to put in something like the music of Josh right. Singer, for example.
Or Josh Singer's music page, like that.
Right.
Or another one I see all the time is such and such artist page. And also, oh, your name is Josh Singer, but that's already taken. So you do JSHSNGR, trying to be like, I can't find that.
Yeah.
I don't know to search that. So figure out how to make it accessible to people. Events. Let's talk about Facebook events real quick. Facebook events are cool. They're great to be able to put out there and get people kind of reminders that they have this thing coming up. But Facebook events are not marketing. They're a one prong of marketing. They are not marketing in and of themselves. So here I'm going to talk to festivals a little bit. I'm going to talk to bands, venues. So this kind of is all encompassing, but creating an event, a lot of times we think, oh, I created an event and that's going to show up in people's feeds. It actually doesn't as much as you think it would. Typically, if you see an event in a page, it says, Josh Singer, we're going to use this guy, Josh Singer, created an event. That might show up in my feed, but it also might not. But here's the problem with it. When I go to Josh Singer's page, it's not there. Events don't populate on your page unless you share it to your page.
Yeah, so what you would have to go, like if you go down to where the About tab is and whatever else is down there, there's an Events tab. You would have to go to Events tab to find Josh's events, and that starts to become too much work for people. And they're going to assume that any events are going to be in your feed, Josh Singer. So that's why if you haven't shared the event, so what you have to do is go to the event, click on it, share it to your own feed on your page, and then it will be there. If you don't do that and all you do is create the event, people are going to go to your page and think you have nothing going on.
I would actually take that a step further and say there's a venue in Huntington that does a great job of this. And a lot of the venues around here do a good job of this. But The Loud, they will share the event poster that they've created and then as a post, but then have the event link in that.
Yeah.
In the body of what they're posting. That's really honestly what you should be doing. That is the best way to be able to really promote your event, is to have the flyer out, you put the link in that, and that's going to make sure people are seeing both. They're going to see your flyer and they're going to be able to see that link and respond, RSVP, whatever. This is just a side note, and I know we all know this, but don't ever gauge RSVPs as a how many people are actually going to come. You know that, I know that, it typically is.
It's kind of a way for just creating hype more than anything else. It's not going to actually give you an accurate count.
And I say that to say, don't stress over that. If you're a new band and you're like, oh man, we posted this event and we've only got 5 RSVPs, don't stress it.
And that can go either way, because a lot of your friends, maybe if they know they can't make the event, they may still mark it as interested just for the sake of helping you create buzz.
Yeah.
So it can also go the way that you have a ton of people interested and not as many show up. And that's totally normal.
Yeah. So let's now talk to the other hand of marketing, and that's going to be Instagram. And Instagram's a little bit of a harder one to utilize for marketing your events. You can put your flyer out there as an image, but then like, oh, how do I get people to show interest? And one of the things I see bands and all kinds of, actually everybody does it. They post a link in the copy of what they're, and by copy, I mean, so, you know, you text it out. Hey guys, come check out this show. It's happening. Da, da, da. Check, click this link. That link doesn't work on Instagram. I can't click the link in your bio, or I'm sorry, click the link in your copy to actually be able to go to it. So what you want to do is say, click the link in our bio to RSVP, and you can put that Facebook link for your event there. Or you could, what I like to do is say, hey guys, check out this, and you can click the RSVP in our story. You take that, put it in your story, and then add the link. And there's a way to do that. Go up to the stickers and hit that, and you can put it in your link. So make sure you're marketing that stuff on Instagram. Instagram is more about engagement than anything else. Instagram is a good way to make sure you have a good presence, but it's not the best tool when it comes to actually getting people to your shows. I really highly recommend utilizing that Facebook event and marketing it both places, so that you have that. And then I don't want to get too much in this topic on this one. And we'll actually have an episode dedicated to this at some point in time. But social media, some of the best marketing you're going to do right now is video, reels, things like that. Showing people who you are. That's how you get a lot of engagement. It's easy to see the artists that are having success are the ones that are doing reels and engaging with their audience through that.
TikTok.
And that's kind of up in limbo right now. We don't know if TikTok will exist, depending on what happens with the sale or no sale of that business. But that's why you can utilize Instagram reels for that engagement as well. It's exactly the same thing. So that would be some tips on how to market your band on social media, then there's a platform that we highly recommend. And a lot of people are beginning to get wise to this. And I'm going to let Maria kind of take this topic a little bit and talk about how to utilize Canva in regards to your band and what you should be doing.
Yeah. So the nice thing about Canva is there's a free version that you can set up And a lot of people, I think, try to make graphics on like a Word doc or something like that. And it doesn't quite land. So the nice thing about Canva is if you're not really good at the design aspect, you can just pull a template from Canva and then just change out your name, logo, and the information, and you'll have a nice looking flyer in honestly a matter of minutes as you get more and more used to it. And you can present well that way. I really, really discourage people from being, you know, just doing like there's a color background and there's text in a boring font and the information is there and that's it. We're putting it out. Like, you want it to grab people's attention. You want it to be engaging. And if you can get good at Canva to really, you know, the interesting thing about Canva is you can be not good at it and put out something decent, or you can be great at it and put out something really good. But if you can at least start with their templates and get something, you know, pretty good out there, that's going to do you a lot of service over trying to do it in a platform that wasn't really meant to do a flyer.
Now, let me pause here and say we are more than aware that some artists are listening to this right now and you're upset that we're saying this. We get it. But you got to be aware that people who are going to use this platform were never going to pay you to begin with.
I think it's also fair to say that what you can do in Canva and what they can do is not the same.
Yeah. Most bands can't afford to have somebody do a graphic design for them. And you're actually probably just going to end up getting frustrated with them anyway, because they're going to be like, hey, man, can you do me a poster for the show I have coming up? I'll pay you $10, or you can get in the show free. That's not worth your time anyway. This is a tool for bands to utilize to make something quick that they can put out there. Now, yeah, if you want something amazing and you want to have an like fantastic poster and all that, you need to contact somebody and work with them for sure. There are several artists in this state that can do that, and they can make you amazing flyers. But if you're going to do that, don't rip them off.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're paying them what they're worth and paying them for their time. So we'll talk more about Canva and ways to do some graphic design on the fly at a later date. And I'm telling you, like, I know big bands that use Canva. Okay. So it's not like it's just a small band thing. But there's other apps as well. Canva is just the one we're talking about. There's other like Adobe has a couple of apps and things like that that you can use on your phone to create some nice little engaging flyers. So beyond that, let's talk about how you should be some very pertinent information that you should have on your social media. And that would be, we want to talk about something called BioSite, and you're probably familiar with Linktree, and then the idea of an EPK. Now, these are different topics, but they can play together. So BioSite is very much a fancy link tree, but it really does a great job of putting your best foot out there, your best foot forward. It allows you to have all your links in an engaging way. It kind of looks like a mini website. It does have a monthly cost or an annual cost to it, but it's not that much, especially considering what you get and what you're able to do with it. So BioSite, Linktree, they can, if you do them right, can act as a mini EPK. EPK, for those of you who do not know, and this is another topic that we will get more into at a later date, but EPK stands for Electronic Press Kit. You need to have one of these. That means you need to have some kind of easily accessible source of information for me to grab a quick bio, photos, some video, website information, who's in the band, things like that. And an EPK should look very professional. And it can just be you can create these in Canva as well. But it's got to have clickable links within it that you can email to somebody if they say, hey, we have that. You see these on Facebook all the time, looking for artists for a festival coming up. Cool. You grab that email they sent you. You grab that EPK. you ship it off. Or if you don't have time to make that EPK, you have your bio site, you just send in that link. It's got everything right there that they're going to need. And you can even put some photos and things like that on bio site. So,
and just if this is new to people, and if you decide to go do it in Canva, just as a note, you have to link it and then you have to add the links in Canva and then you have to save it as a PDF. If you save it as a PNG or a JPG, it won't work. And so just to save you from that frustration, that should be
And you have to, now let me clarify what you're saying. I'm going to ask you. So you're saying that as they build it in Canva, they have to build the links within the app.
Yes.
Okay. So that way, when you do that and then you hit save, it basically, now you've got this nice PDF that you can send out and it's got all your links right there. So this is a quick overview, guys. Like I said, we don't have time to get into all of the
nitty gritty,
finite details of what it takes to be successful on social media. But these are just some quick things that we have seen a lot of bands kind of struggle with. Guys, I'm talking simple stuff like making sure your logo fits inside of your icon on your Facebook, you know, and that means sizing it to the right size so that it's there and half your letters aren't cut off.
That's a really important one.
Yeah, I see that all the time. And it just, you may not think it means much, but it looks kind of sloppy. And so you got to do a checkup on your Facebook. And if you want us to look at it, message us. We'll talk to you about how we can help and maybe give you some ideas and tips as to how you can improve your social media presence. And that's what we're here for. We are here to help. We want to help you guys increase your potential and your capacity to grow your brand and to make what you're doing even better.
And just as an afterthought, if some people are on here listening and saying to themselves, like, why are they talking about Facebook so much when everybody knows like TikTok is where it's at now? Well, all of these platforms are useful in different ways, and you have to also think about the area that you're in. And right now in West Virginia, Facebook is very common across a number of generations. So it's sort of a misnomer to say, oh, well, Gen Z is not on Facebook. That's not necessarily true. And in terms of promoting events, Facebook is much more apt to doing that efficiently than Instagram and TikTok. Now, you should still use Instagram and TikTok, you know, assuming it still exists, just to promote your brand and your music and who you are. But if you're specifically you're promoting an event, Facebook is a really useful tool for doing that.
And I'm going to just kind of hit that point a little harder on what Maria just said about who's on Facebook. A lot of people think, oh, younger generation is not there. That's not just a West Virginia thing. Nationwide, the demographics show that the majority of users on Facebook are between the ages of 18 and 32. So that's a lot of the people you're trying to target with this kind of stuff. And then that 33 to 50 is the next highest, you know, range on there. So you gotta, I see a lot of younger bands, especially thinking, oh, I don't need to be on Facebook. Yes, you do. Especially when the events that you're trying to get yourself booked on are on Facebook. If those festivals that you want to play are on Facebook, you need to be on Facebook. Mm-hmm, for sure. It is that simple. All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. And we want to take a second to thank our sponsor for this podcast, Haunting Hill Winery in Stonewood, West Virginia. If you are looking to set up a girls' night out, a bachelorette party, you have a corporate function where you want to get some folks together, we highly recommend checking out Haunting Hill Winery and finding out more about how you can use their facility for your next event. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Born and Bred podcast, and we will see you on our next episode coming up shortly, where we interview David Zinn.